Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, hi, yes, hello. We've all seen this, right? This story in the New York fucking Times about the Pentagon's $22 million, oh shit, there might be aliens program. We've all read it, we've all engaged with the evidence within the story, written in part by two journalists who have won Pulitzer Prizes for the New York fucking Times. That suggests, oh shit, there might be aliens. Good! I'm glad we've all seen the story. My question now is, what the fuck are we even doing right now? How are we all just going about our work on a Monday morning after seeing the video, which was not taken by some yokel with a cell phone, but by ultra-sophisticated systems of a super hornet, of an extremely weird flying object speeding through our skies? How are we doing so after reading this testimonial from one of the pilots who encountered the object? Those are the words of Deadspin's Tom Lay in a story titled, "Someone Explain to Me the Alien Alloys Before I Fucking..." Wait, that's the URL. Excuse me! Someone explain to me the alien alloys before I fucking explode! In Deadspin, on Deadspin's Concourse, today we're gonna talk about fucking aliens.
Wait,
that's right,
wait,
kids.
Wait,
it's Waypoint. Aren't we? Did I get my wires crossed?
We may be just talking about like fucking aliens, not fucking aliens.
That's what I said. Those are the words I used.
In a forest of inflection and entendre here.
Well, no matter what, this is Waypoint Radio, episode 123, and I'm Danielle Riendo, your host. Joining me today are Austin Walker.
I can think of you as our UFO captain. Captain, yep. UFOs have captains, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Unidentified captain number one. Patrick Klepek.
I'd rather be Captain UFO.
Ooh.
Captain UFO, that's good. That's like a DJ name almost, like DJ Captain UFO.
Where? Let's talk about those alloys.
I've already found Captain UFO's SoundCloud.
And also, of
course.
He's
from Chicago.
Oh, no.
Who said I was joking?
What?
Patrick is a plant.
Somebody.
No, Patrick has a plan. Patrick has a plan.
Perfect. You've also heard him here, Rob Zachney, our other UFO ex-com
ologist,
expert. Ologist.
UFOologist.
What if the alien culture, though, manages to do away with hierarchies and doesn't need something like a captain?
True.
He's an ex-commie! Just... Woo!
Okay.
Yep. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all have to figure out a way forward. So, sure.
All right, so how do people feel about this?
That's what, okay.
Mincing my words here. I'm
it's
using
not like
very particular language.
Communist?
Right, he would not erstwhile communist, Rob
Excuse
Zachney.
Me, there's no E in front of the X. It's just ex-commie, as in he's an ex-commie, not an X, as in no longer a commie.
Gotcha. Yeah,
yes.
Gotcha.
So canonically, an ex-com, too, they are a pretty communist organization.
They are, it's true. Like, yeah. It's true.
That one guy keeps showing up with, like, funding, but let's be real, like... He's just like stealing it from like groups who are doing all the work.
Exactly.
So this is an odd story, I would say, and I think it's enticing because it feels like what it's saying is real people, not like fringe lunatics, are looking into the alien question.
Oh, Rob.
And they found shit.
Rob, you're
they
about to undercut shit. This statement you're saying, and we're not there yet. Let's wait to. Is the thing you're going to say that the actual truth is that there are just fringe lunatics with millions of taxpayer dollars? Is that where this is going?
No. We don't know what they found, so it's possible.
Show
it's
me the
entirely
alloys.
Possible.
Show me the alloys.
Show me the alloys.
Let me taste them.
Patrick, you are the X-Files expert here. Although I'm also a pretty massive X-Files fan, but a lot of that just kind of comes down to Gillian Anderson. X-Files
fan until season, what, 7, six? 8? I don't know. Yeah. I forget what 6 is about.
6 was still kind of okay. Yeah, for sure.
The season where Chris Carter felt the show was getting out of hand and then stepped in more to, like, bring it to inclusion and
7,
fucked it all up?
I think it was 7.
Well, actually, it's more complicated than that. Like, he wanted to bring the show. He wanted to bring the show to a finish, and they kept saying, "No, make more seasons." And he eventually, like, said, "Okay, I guess I'll invent some more mythology." And then that's when there's a moment in the arc of the X-Files where they resolve the central the show's central question is what happened to Mulder's sister, and then at some point they answer that question. And it's like it's a satisfying answer, and it resolves the character's arc. But then they said, "But like, what if more seasons?" And then they fucked up even the answer they came up with by like extending Mulder's sister's whole arc. And And now he's just bad because it's that show should have ended a long time ago. But it's coming back. I'll watch.
Coming back, baby. More aliens.
I'll chew on those alloys and watch mediocre X-Files episodes.
Do you think they're chewy? Because I've read these stories, and it seems like one of the through lines is this notion that the alloys are. One of my favorite quotes somewhere in here is about how the alloys. It's like studying. Going back in time and giving a garage door opener to someone from like 1200.
To Leonardo da Vinci. Even specifically, yes.
And like before he even gets into what the clicker does, like what the electronics do, he would just be like, "Yo, what is this material? What is plastic?" But in Italian, because Leonardo da Vinci. And if there are alien alloys, I know that it's silly. Thank you. I know that it's silly to say, like, are they chewy? Because they could be containing some sort of amazing, powerful technology. But I want to know, do you think the alien alloys are chewy?
Well, this is very close to... Sorry, I just have a very quick story.
No, go ahead.
Close to another actually pretty great examination in sci-fi of what, alien encounter might be like, and that is the book, not the film, Sphere from Michael Crichton in the mid-80s. And there's a
love
really great little... Yeah,
like
it's
that
awesome.
Film, frankly. I enjoyed
that
movie.
I like the
movie.
Film, too.
That
I
book
like
is
the
great.
Film, too. But the book is actually probably Crichton's best, maybe? I don't know. Whatever. We can talk about that later. But there's like a really great little story from one of the scientist characters, well, I think the physicist character, who says something like... He kind of goes through a thought experiment. And he says, if there was super intelligent bacteria, alien bacteria, and it encountered something like one of our satellites, it would have no idea what its purpose was. And it might, be zapped by it. It might try to encounter it. It might try to sort of navigate through its circuitry and then be zapped by it. And then think something like, oh, this was a test. This was like a puzzle box for me. But really, it's just one of our satellites. We just have no ability to understand the intention of what an alien technology might be and might be used for.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I'm into it. So you think that this is... So wait, which side of this do you think we're on? If that's your read on the alien alloys.
We're the bacteria. We just don't know. We have no idea.
We're the bacteria. Right. Okay, see, I wasn't sure if we were the bacteria or if this thing was the bacteria and was like, I want to see if they put me in their mouth.
Oh.
Wait, so the alloy wants to be eaten.
Or tested or opened or unlocked.
I put the alloy in my mouth and I go, it's chewy. Then the alloy goes, mission accomplished. And
mission
then
accomplished.
Eradicates us.
Eradication, eradication, eradication. It says that it knows English now because
okay.
You put it
in
your mouth.
In my stomach, I start hearing the words eradication.
Right, you're like, I should not have had that taco. And
you
then
fucked up.
That burrito is really, oh, God.
Al Pastor is feeling like it's going to eradicate out of my butthole.
God. So, like, the big picture here is that the
government... It's aliens!
Of course, that's the... Okay, the small picture here is probably the thing that happened is that Harry Reid pushed forward a bill that gave $22 million to a friend of his.
Yes.
All that money didn't go to his friend. The program got $22 million. His friend got a lot of that money as an independent contractor to research UFOs. There's lots of really interesting reporting in these pieces. There's a piece in the New York Times. There's a piece on Politico. It's fascinating. It's fascinating that this is a thing that there are counterclaims from some people out there now saying this program existed for years. Harry Reid is only kind of like joining up with
credit?
It, taking credit for it, basically. Yeah. There's all sorts
of
stuff.
That tracks, you know.
Well, and then there was like an aside in the New York Times article that like Reid. Like one of the people who helped get it through was Ted Stevens from mm-hmm. Alaska, who mm-hmm. was a military aviator.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, like when Reid brought it to him and was like, "So I'm thinking about doing this," Stevens, the implication of the piece is that like Stevens was like, "Oh, thank fucking God,"
right?
Because I've seen some shit up there,
right?
which is a common
yes,
threat.
That's
actually,
what
like,
yes, it's
a lot of aviators.
Yes,
report seeing bizarre and weird shit in the sky. And part of that is because I think it's an unfamiliar space to us. So, like, there's probably a lot of phenomenon you encounter from an odd perspective.
Like going to a new town and you're like, what the fuck is a Tim Hortons? And then it's like that, but with aliens.
They see flying donuts. It's
right.
An easy example is, like, have you ever seen a picture of, like, a laser pointer, what it looks like when it hits the cockpit of, like a commercial airliner at altitude. It looks like a ridiculous green flash. Like it looks like your cockpit is awash in some sort of like weird green alien light. But it's somebody with a laser pointer. It's just
right.
The coherent beam of light has been diffused in a really weird and intense way. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on up there.
Good.
I don't know what's out there.
Uh-huh.
But people who you would not think of as cranks have judged that this is something worth looking into. Admittedly, it was something worth funding through your friend, who also felt
okay,
like this was something worth into.
But let's just jump 20 years in the future, and by now Patrick Klepek is America's most powerful politician.
Captain UFO.
Captain
UFO.
Please call me Senator Captain UFO.
DJ Senator Captain UFO.
and Senator Captain UFO, I come to you and I go, listen, Patrick, we go back, and mm-hmm. I got to tell you, my aerospace corporation, which I founded shortly after we closed Waypoint, after we discovered those alien alloys, has done real well, and we think we found something, but I need a little bit of funding. I need some government funding to find out if the aliens are real and what they're doing. And you know that if you go through the FBI or whoever else, the U.S. Air Force, they're not going to put people on this. I need this to go through the Senate. I need it to go through Congress. I need this to be – I need earmark me, baby. Give me a little bit of earmark money, and I'll figure out what's going on with these aliens. You know you can trust me. It's your old pal Austin. I was there the day you decided to be Captain UFO. And also, I've developed this new speaking affectation. This is how I talk to all my friends now.
Oh, wow.
When you're talking about UFOs, you know, you got
only
you
when I'm
make
talking about UFOs. And also, I end my sentences like this: I come down and then up again. The
like UFOs.
UFOs. Yeah, you put the accent on the O.
Oh.
Because that's what you say when you see a UFO. Yeah,
it sounds like John Edwards doing a spoken word album or something.
God.
UFOs are my backyard.
No, that's gonna be. I'm gonna. That's gonna be my kids.
That baby ain't mine.
UFOs.
Wasn't this guy a billionaire? Why did he need $22 million in government
oh,
money
gee,
if he's like
a
billionaire? A
super rich person just wanting more when they already have fucking plenty. What a crazy concept.
Oh.
But one of the things that
okay,
wasn't
well,
you're
right,
saying.
Wait, Danielle, you're right. You're right. I think it was the other way around. It's as if I would go to Patrick, Senator Captain UFO, and I said, I'm going to let you in on this. I'm going to let you put your name on it. I think I'm going to sell you this bridge. And then I just
the DJ Captain UFO bridge.
DJ
you
Senator
name it
Captain
in here.
Exactly. The UFO bridge. The bridge to UFOphobia.
But Danielle, you were getting toward, like, the real possibilities here, right?
I am interested in this as a real possibility. No. I'm not going to lie. There's also the there's also a claim in the New York Times piece, I believe it's from Billionaire Friend, who talks about how this country is backwards in this regard, where people are afraid, airmen especially, are afraid, or other sort of aviators are afraid to come forward because they're afraid of getting laughed at. And other countries like Russia and China, you know, bastions of goodwill towards humanity, are you know, doing so much better in this regard. They're more open. The scientists there are more open to discussing things of an extraterrestrial nature. And also places like Belgium and France are more open to sort of discussing this stuff. I don't know if that's true because I have not researched this in any kind of depth, but that is an interesting thing. To put forward as like a, do we have a weird, because of our, you know, sort of kish culture around Area 51 and the X-Files and all sorts of stuff in our popular media, do we have like an especially bad stigma against looking into this stuff as an actual possibility with maybe some scientific merit, maybe a reason to actually look into it?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it would not surprise me in part because like, okay, so in the Soviet Union, there was a lot of shit that was kept from you. Like, there was a lot of stuff that would happen that was real that the government would not tell you about, right? And so, like, things that were stories sometimes turned out to be 100% true, right? Like, you know, Chernobyl's a famous example, right? Like, you know, they literally tried to keep a nuclear reactor malfunction meltdown under wraps. They thought that was something they could pull off. And that's not the only, like, large-scale industrial accident that, like, the Soviet Union had. And so, like, I could see there being, like, sort of intertwined with the politics of that region, there being a bit more open-mindedness to the possibility of, like, there are phenomena we do not understand. And rather than just writing it off as, you know, the thinking of cranks, when the government says they have no record of it, it's possible that it's something that bears greater explanation.
Right.
We have probably a deleterious history of trusting the word of public officials when they say that, like, that thing that people think they saw just wasn't there, right?
Right.
And that's it's really easy to marginalize people who are you know, trying to tell you that, you know, there's an observable phenomenon that the government is denying exists. And this is, I mean, again, we do not have to look hard for major examples of shit like this happening, right? Like the early days of the AIDS epidemic were, you know, a weird underground story that the government was sort of like covering its eyes to. So, like, I can sort of see like where that is coming from. On the other hand, that is somebody who's making a sales pitch for why he needs money.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely.
I mean, like, that is the. I think the thing that also comes through from those from many accounts of or maybe the through line between those two types of stories, the like, I believe in aliens, or like, I think aliens are a thing that exists in the universe, whether or not they've come here or not, who knows, but do I believe them, you know, like that type of argument, and the, is the government hiding shit from us? Of course the government is hiding shit from us. Those two things have a through line of a recognition of our smallness and the limits of our perception, right? In which it's like, oh yeah, of course there are people in power who are able to keep things from us because they have resources and the desire to keep things from us. And then the same thing with aliens, which is like, the universe is huge. The universe is so vast. The notion that we were so special and so alone seems so improbable. And so, like, I definitely fit myself here in the UFO the do you believe in aliens question is very much like, yeah, of course I believe in aliens. I don't know that these specific aliens existed, and in fact I definitely believe that there have been some fucking con men and bamboozlers and charlatans.
What are you trying to say about me?
No!
What are you saying about my campaign?
He's not going to give you the money now, Austin. Captain, he's not going to give you the money in 20 years if you insult him.
DJ Senator Captain UFO, what I mean to say is that the people around you bring shame to your profession. And part of the reason why I think that you should sign this bill that gives me $22 million is so it's our effort together can be above board, not like these cranks who have late night call-in shows, not like Art Bell, the ghost of Art Bell over here. Oh. Art Bell didn't die, actually, right? He just stopped doing that show.
I think that's correct.
Okay, well, in my mind, he's also ascended on to ghosthood status. And now he's blessing this very, yeah, he's still alive. Whew, I had to double check. We're good. Anyway, that's the through line for me is like, hey, how couldn't there be aliens? What would make us so special as to being alive? The only things that have a sort of sapience or, you know, sapience is a word that is self-defining in some ways, but you know, who think and act like us, or who are thinking beings, let's say, in the universe.
Yeah, that's the part for me that's tricky, is that I fully believe there are all kinds of like exotic life out there in the universe.
Hell
I just
yeah.
I just don't believe that we would be able to identify them as life. Or even identify them at all. We only have a few senses. They're pretty limited. Every kind of technology we have is pretty limited.
I'm willing to say there's life we could identify.
You think so?
Yeah, just far away. Everything is so far in
space. No, I agree. I just think that we are so limited in our own experience of the universe that it's hard for me to think that, you know, there could be something that looks like a star to us or whatever. I'm just completely pulling an example out of my ass.
Is actually alive.
But it's actually alive and has something like thought and a process.
I'm saying both of those things can be true. Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
The thing that we can't identify as like, that's here. That could be here now. Who the fuck knows? Do you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
I'm not like an ESP person. I'm not like a
government totally looked into that though. By the
way,
government research is crazy shit.
Yes, of course, and it should.
Just in case, man.
I would feel better about it if like I knew that the chip program was not under. You know what I mean? Like I would feel better about a lot of this shit if the basic needs are being met. But if I was gonna start slashing big budget military funding, it wouldn't start with weird esoteric aliens and ESP. It would start with like overpriced fighter jets that aren't ever going to see service. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, there's an interesting interview on, Pod Save the World a few months ago. Apparently, like the biggest ticket items at the DOD isn't even weapon system acquisitions. Like, there are billions spent on administering payroll.
Right.
That's
how big the machine is.
Waste happens in weird places. And we only seem to choose to care about it when it involves the feeling that someone somewhere is getting away with something.
Right.
Fair. God.
Like billionaire friend here.
So can we get a roll call on alien belief? I've stated my position. Danielle,
I'm in the same camp. I just think it's much more likely that we will not be able to understand something. But it would be cool if there was something we could understand. So, yes.
I'm fucking in.
Yeah.
You're in. You're all the way in. Are you all the way in to bases in America where there are secret alien corpses?
No. Do I believe that is true? Do I want to believe that it's true? Yes.
Fair.
Those are different things. Do I think there are alien corpses in Area 51? Probably not. Do I want to desperately be wrong? Yes.
I mean, there have to be aliens. Like, literally, the deeper we look into the universe, the more fucking galaxies
right.
we spot.
Right.
Galaxies, which is already, like, an impossibly, like, inconceivably large space and, like, you know, collection of matter that you can't even conceptualize. There's, like, billions and billions and billions of galaxies.
Right.
Yeah.
God, there better be something else out there. otherwise, I mean, then you're, or otherwise you're back to that, is it an Asimov quote? That there's two possibilities, either we're alone in the universe or we aren't, and both are equally terrifying.
Right. So that sounds good. I'm glad. I'm glad.
Everyone needs to read Roadside Picnic, by the way.
Everyone,
yes. That's my idea. Yes. If you're going to read Sphere, which you should.
It's
good.
That's a cool, like, kind of like, it's almost like a haunted underwater research lab.
I love story. That fucking story so
it's
much.
Really
like, it is just
good.
It's a really
good. God, when they uncover the footage of people going to the fucking Sphere.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
We should watch. We should all figure out.
I like that.
Y'all
movie.
Are going to be in town soon. We should watch Sphere while y'all are in town.
It's good. It's just the book is like actually secretly great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need
yeah.
to find. But, I read a big, long, serious book about Area 51 and like the history of it a couple years back. I'm trying to look it up right now. That it is more along the serious tact of like what was happening there. I'm going to look it up. Do you want to go to your tweets and I'll look up this?
Yeah, I'm going to go to... Listen, I went out... Normally, we get questions by people sending them into gamingadvice.com, but I wanted to go straight to the people. I didn't want any barriers between me and the truth that's out there.
It's your UFO voice again.
That's a different... That guy's down here and he goes up on the end of his sentences.
Oh, right.
This is my late night radio host voice. This is the truth. That's an Austin Truth Teller Walker. Truth Teller's already someone on Twitter, so I can't use that name, actually. Don't add that to my list of AKAs. This one comes in from Tim on Twitter. Also, I've realized in retrospect that the only obstacle to you talking to me on Twitter is being on Twitter, a site filled with Nazis. The real mystery is, why does Twitter not do anything about those Nazis? This one comes in from Tim on Twitter. Do you think there are alien gamers? And are they hardcore gamers? Or casuals? I added that last bit, but I could sense it. Tim wants to know. Tell us.
Depends what they're playing.
They built the simulation for us.
There it is. Talk to me about that, Rob. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing. There's aliens, but we're already just, like, little bits of data inside
the
machine.
Oh, man. That's so much to have to comprehend.
They just got bored with regular games. They were like, this is all filthy casual bullshit. We need a complete reality there.
When they die for real. But they in this situation is us, but we're still in a simulation. But it's enjoyment for them. They're cruel. They're cruel aliens.
Are they using us for batteries?
That too could be. Could be powering the simulation.
We're just asking
with our
questions.
Body heat.
Yeah,
who
that's
knows?
Right.
Who knows? But World War II is probably just like an Alien Paradox game got out of hand.
It went bad. It went definitely not political. That's what the people on the Paradox forums who have all the German iconography tell me. Don't just focus on the war game part. Don't think about the politics or the death. Jose on Twitter says, what if someday, I like this because Jose has a whole vision of the future here. What if someday aliens finally came to Earth, everybody welcomes them, and in the first interview they ask, where is our gold? We created you thousands of years ago so you can gather it. Where is it? And they start to treat us like slaves. You don't have it? Back to the mines then. What if that happens? Have the government Harry Reid, go back to office, get reelected, and you tell me how are we preparing for this inevitability where the aliens come and ask us where the gold is?
Wait, so this is like Prometheus, but it's Cortez at the end?
Yes,
100%. What if the aliens come and they say, we built you those pyramids so that you could communicate with us and tell us when you had all the gold? And now we don't have any gold. If you listen to the Paul family, we would all be back having gold again, and we'd be ready for this, but we didn't listen.
Oh, the Paul family. Oh.
I could believe that dude was a messenger or something.
Yeah. Have y'all heard any really wild alien like conspiracy theories that go that direction besides the like alien pyramid one, the like aliens on
the Jesus
Earth
one.
Shit? Wait, the one from Prometheus, you mean?
I mean, it's not from Prometheus.
Okay.
But, like, they reference it in an earlier script of Prometheus, but it's, like, a long-standing theory of, like, you know...
That adds up.
A thing that's, like, yeah, Jesus was an alien. He was sent to, you know, we misinterpreted his message or something. That's the gist of it,
Oh,
really.
I love that notion so much, where Jesus is like, hey, guys, it's me. I'm an alien, like, son of God.
Yep.
he who takes away the sins of the earth. Have mercy on us. Like, no. E.T., did that come out here yet already? And everyone else is like, Lamb of God, he who takes away the sins of the earth. And no, it's not coming through to them. It's not really coming through.
Not getting it yet.
Okay, so I found my book.
Uh-huh.
It's called Area 51, An Uncensored History of America's Top Secret Military Base by Annie Jacobson. This came out in 2011. Like at the time, I don't. It was a well-reviewed book, and uh-huh. I enjoyed it. It's like a really like.
I hear you deep, walking it back now.
Uh-huh. No. I'm setting you up that like 99% of the book is like a dogged like investigation of Area 5 and like the Cold War and like a blah blah blah, like walking through the history of Area 51. And then there's one last chapter. The final chapter of the book, and from what I remember, like the author sets it up as like, look, this is a fucked up sort of theory, but I've done reporting and like, there's part like the source I use, like it seems legitimate, and I just want, and she's like, she puts it out there as like, I'm not saying this is true, but I want to propose a theory about what actually happened during the Roswell UFO incident.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to read this from the Wikipedia summary. So the book, based on interviews with scientists and engineers who worked in Area 51, addresses the Roswell UFO incident and dismisses the alien story.
What?
Instead, it suggests that the Russians produced grotesque child-sized aviators to be remotely piloted and landed in America to cause hysteria in the likeness of Orson Welles' 1938 radio drama War of the Worlds, but that the aircraft crashed and the incident was hushed up by the Americans. Jacobson writes
that the
bodies found at the crash site were children, grotesquely but similarly deformed, aged around 12, each under 5 feet tall, with large heads and abnormally sized eyes. They were neither aliens nor consenting airmen, but human guinea pigs, she claims.
Wow.
What? Oh, wait, I've just clicked through this. You skimmed over a part of this, Patrick, in which the specifics of this theory are that Stalin directly recruited...
Oh, sorry, I missed that
Joseph
line. Yeah, it's an important
Mengele
line.
From the Nazis? They're Nazi communist... They're Nazi Soviet children?
Yes.
And
their craft was a giant Matryoshka doll. And that is why the ones that we recovered were so tiny, because, of course, blew out the outer layers.
We got the tiny babies inside.
Yeah.
This is...
It's always been Russians.
Think about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Think about
it. I got some tweet threads for you to read.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Clarify some things.
To be fair, again, like... The possibility that the DOD does, like, a lot of research that other parts of the DOD are not aware of
is
also incredibly high.
100%.
Right? The Pentagon would 100% budget $22 million to look into sightings of other fucking programs that they are already running but not copping to. Shortly after we, invented thermonuclear weapons, we started having... military drills like sort of march through bomb site detonations just to see.
God.
And like soldiers weren't really told what that was all about. So like, yeah, 1947, we were up to all kinds of shit.
Cass on Twitter wants to know, I'd like to know, that's how I knew he wanted to know a thing. What's the one thing you'd show an alien that would be the best achievement? And I love the ambiguity of this question. You could take it however you want to take
it. Best achievement.
Only 0.1% of users have this one. I'm very proud of it. Let me open up my prey save, and I'll show you how I got it. Didn't use any alien powers, which might offend you. I apologize.
No, actually, as an alien, I am very thankful that you did not use anything like this. These are our powers.
Culture. I admire it a great deal. And whenever I create a character in an RPG, I try to express my respect for it.
I need to know more about the alien race and what they value. Because to be like, oh, this is the best achievement. Because if you're trying to, like, impress somebody, you always need to know what they're impressed by.
No, because then you don't be inauthentic, Danielle. Like,
I'm not being inauthentic.
Yeah, you are.
I'm trying not to get eradicated. I'm trying to get our planet not blown up to be used as an interstellar highway.
All right, let me set it up differently then. Let's set it up differently. This is at an interstellar coffee shop. Okay. This is in the future. We have not, we've met other alien species and races, but you're here and you're on this coffee shop.
It's a first date.
It's a space station. It is. You got set up. It's on Space Grindr.
Space,
and
yeah.
Humanity has not, Spinder, yeah, because it's for various organisms that have spines.
Appendages.
Yeah, you're the first person. It tells you, it's like, oh, we've never actually matched a human with one of these people in this alien species.
Well,
in fact,
this is like the Farscape episode.
I love this so much. Yeah, the restaurant accurate. At the end of the universe. There, it was so good.
So you're gonna meet them, and they are first of all, they are extremely attractive to you. But you've seen their photos, you've read their bio, but their bio doesn't really tell you what they like. You know, they just seem charming. They just seem like funny. Like you could recognize the cadence of humor in their weird alien tongue, like da da da, bram bram ba da 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 da, and like oh ha, ha ha ha, like it's just a natural reaction. But you don't know anything about them. But it does say like the you know, you do the drop down, like, oh, what should we do for our first date? And it's like, oh, get coffee and exchange achievements from our various cultures. What do you bring to that date? And you know it's not a military thing. They're not going to come and kill you. They're not going to, you know, I mean, maybe they'll write off all humanity based on this one bad date. That's certainly a thing that happens in America, in the world, and on Earth. So what do you bring to that date?
Oh, Jesus.
See, it has
on
to
a
be
first date,
you
I
want to
be even more impressive. That's the thing. It's just even worse because that's all I want to do is impress.
Yeah, but this alien will see right through it if you're not bringing what you think is the best achievement to communicate what Earth is, what humans are. They genuinely want to know.
A cat.
You bring a different species? and a species that domesticated itself.
No, we sort of had a hand in that.
Do you know how cats are domesticated?
I mean, they liked our grain.
Yeah.
So if it weren't for us, they wouldn't be cute and small.
Okay, I can defend this. So the notion that you're saying is like, hey, look, baby, we'll come up with, we'll have like a synergistic relationship where we both just get to be our best selves. I'm not gonna grab you and pull you into my apartment. I'm just gonna put out a grain silo, and if you like killing the rats that it attracts, then we'll get to hang out for all time.
Come cuddle, yeah, exactly.
Right, and come cuddle. Okay, I like
it. Also, like, frankly, let's be honest. You're on a first date with somebody. They don't like the kind of animal that you have three of in your apartment. I mean, something's. It's just not going to work out.
Well,
so.
She brings the Smushganaga, which is a 13-volume Bible that explains the entire history of her culture.
The Smushganaga.
The Smushganaga. It's beautiful. It's illustrated.
The thing is, we don't have a good Smushganaga. We just have, like, the, you know, Judeo-Christian Bible, and I do not want to bring that to a first date.
Yeah, why didn't you bring the collected works of Tolkien, you know? don't worry, she's been on a date with someone who brought the X-Files once, and that was like, yo, I've got to go. I'm not fucking with no chasers.
Well, it was between that or a DVD rip of that new Netflix film Bright with Will Smith, where he plays, they address racial issues with orcs, and he's the cop.
I want to see that movie.
So it was
hang on. Is that Herc in that from The Wire?
Oh, no, is it? Is that the alien guy?
Is it? Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It's an orc.
Wait, it was written by Max Landis and directed
David
Ayer. What is happening? Why?
Is it seriously Herc?
Stop.
No, I don't think it is.
Hey, aliens, stop. You can have Earth if Max Landis stops getting work.
Oh, wow. Patrick and Rob, what would you bring to your first meeting?
Well, I feel like I was already called out and dragged a second ago.
Oh, no, why?
Because I thought I was the X-Files guy.
Oh.
You are the X-Files guy, but don't bring the X-Files to your date with an alien. It sends the wrong message.
It says I've been interested before I met you.
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I've read all your Facebook posts.
Oh, boy.
Rob, what is your great? What is the great? Oh, did you already say?
I'm thinking if Rob's got one.
No, man, I'm like the one thing that's like, hey, like this is what we're about as a species.
Yeah.
Hang on, what did you bring?
Fuck you. How about that? Oh! I brought this podcast.
Will we talk about them?
Yeah, where we say, listen, I don't know what aliens are like. They could be like everything. Like humanity, they're an endless plurality, and I'm just interested to get out there and live in a big galactic community with them. You know?
I just wish we had a smushed.
I'm a Leo. I love walks, mostly in the city, but I don't mind a beach. I would just like to spend some time with you and, you know, get to know who you are for real. Not just beyond the 13 appendages and the second spleen.
Oh. I'm gonna bring the tile that I bought for my keychain because I always lose my keys, and that's like super annoying. And like, so what did humanity do? Found a way to find things that we lost.
I like
and
it.
And that's like just like a metaphor for all the things that humanity is trying.
And maybe we could find something.
Where's my keys?
Maybe we could find something tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
find something we lost. Damn.
Yeah, find something we lost. Exactly.
And now I found it.
Yeah.
Beep. Here, eat this tile. Put it in.
Is it chewy?
No, you already ate. You already ate it. I put it in your alloy soup.
Yes, good. Rob, it's up to you, because we all suck at this.
Hey, a cat's a great idea.
What if it ate the cat? What if it just eats it?
Yeah. What if you're dating Alf?
It's Alf.
Yeah.
What
if, Alfoy.
Second question, what if it is a cat? Like, what if it's a cat person?
Not like this story. Like deeply insulting that you've, like, enslaved their, their people.
Yeah. Enslaved? No. I treat my cats like royalty.
Oh yeah? Well, that's what the owner would say.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Yep. Yep. Oh, no. Uh-huh. I treat them very well. Think about the life they'd be having if we didn't own them.
Oh, my God. You know? Oh,
that's uh-huh.
No, I adopted them. They're my children. They're not.
They're childlike. And you're infantilizing them now?
Oh, no.
Oh, you paid money for them? You picked them up off the street?
I changed my answer to the collected works of David Foster Wallace.
No. That's the answer that would be in The New Yorker. That's what they would say. Rob, are you just going to go with that prey achievement?
I feel like that's good enough.
Are you sticking to the prey achievement? No. I think my real answer might be, and this has got, I mean, look, I basically stopped evolving as a human being senior year of college, probably, because the shit still speaks to me, and I think it encompasses a lot. I really like Yeats' poetry. I really like William Butler Yeats. And the thing that works for me about it is, like, there is, like, a lot of just, like, how humans appreciate beauty in that work. But then there's also, like, our shitty fucked up politics and lives around it.
Right.
So it's like, look, here we are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're really wonderful, like, sensitive, sensual creatures. And other times we're murdering each other or castigating each other for not being enthusiastic enough about the murder.
I like it. I think that's a genuine and heartfelt answer.
Can I change my answer again?
Yes, because I think you know what? I think the most human thing is change. So yes, I'm gonna let you have this.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
My real true answer, my final answer, is the city of New York. Because it is a place where we have figured out how to gather 8.5 million assholes of various works of life.
How are you bringing it? How did you get how did you get New York there?
Hold on.
Uh-huh. I know exactly. Look, you know how, like, in comics, Brainiac, like, steals
100%.
Danielle did that.
Yeah.
For this, but, like, it's not for real.
Stole,
like,
New York.
New York is still fine.
But shrunk, like, down into a little New York. A capsule.
But what happened on
and then
Earth?
I put
is
it
New York
on the
still
cat's
there?
Necklace.
Wait, oh my God! Yep. Yes,
I did.
Oh my God!
A little.
What is this? Men in Black is like you're gonna. This is like we're looking for Orion's belt.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it is.
Only it's the city of New York because it is a place where many diverse types of human beings have figured out how to live together. And it ain't
and I
perfect.
Took, I took the,
it ain't
and I
perfect.
Took them from their homes
Wait,
so that I could prove to you how much I love you.
Fuck. Fuck. I think the thing we've learned about the future is that Danielle Rise has become the overlord of all mankind.
Correct.
Empress Riendo, first of her name.
Yep.
And that she is able
and last,
to...
because there's nothing after
there's
that.
There's nothing... Correct.
I am the Alpha and the Omega.
I got one more question here from Twitter. This one comes in from
uh-huh.
Anime Ring Wearer.
Okay. Good.
Who says...
Wait, hold on. What does that mean? What is he wearing?
Anime...
It's a message from your wife.
Anime Ring Wearer, who says... I just did a web search for Anime Ring Wearer, hoping... that I would find more answers, and instead I just found another tweet from Anime Ringwearer being sent to Alex Navarro, who says, soon we'll be going from haunted dolls to haunted Kinects. I'm a big fan of Kinects. Anime Ringwearer says, if you were to become an alien, would you want to be a gray, a reptilian, a Nordic, or a hybrid? Don't ask me why I know those terms. I know why you know those terms, Anime Ringwearer, because you're interested in the truth and in science.
Give us those. What are my options again?
A gray, a reptilian, a Nordic, or a hybrid. They all answer. They're the things that they say. They sound like they
What's
are.
What's a Nordic?
This is bullshit.
You ever see?
Okay, Nordic aliens are humanoid.
Yeah, go ahead. Read.
They have a wiki.
Okay.
And it sounds like some shenanigans.
Uh huh.
They are humanoid extraterrestrials.
Uh huh.
Purported to come from the Pleiades.
Yeah. Okay.
Who, and hey, what a crazy coincidence. They just happen to resemble Nordic Scandinavians.
Yeah, have you ever seen The Matrix Returns? You know those white twins? It's like
oh,
them.
Oh, wow.
It's them, but they're aliens.
Can Professor
contactees describe them as typically male, 6 to 7 feet tall,
okay,
with long blonde hair, blue eyes.
So they're elves.
And skin tones
okay.
ranging from fair to tanned. So,
Okay.
People like.
I think I'm a hybrid. I'm going hybrid because like I don't know what the other ones are. Like I don't.
You know what a gray is. You know what.
Yeah,
a gray
but I don't know what I get out of that. Like, what's the skill set? Like, what are my RPG stats?
Okay, so you have telepathy, mind control. you can resurrect.
You're just pulling this from XCOM.
Dead Squad. Yes.
XCOMy.
Thank you, phone.
Thanks, phone. Is that telling us to stop the podcast?
That like new topic, yeah.
I see hybrid. Like I already know, I'm comfortable in my own body, and I feel like hybrid. I get the benefits of
I got you.
The alien. So I'm like I know what I got. So I'm only going up from
right,
there. Like
right,
I don't know what the
right.
downsides are being the reptilian or the gray. Yeah, yeah. Being psychic and raising the dead. That sounds pretty good. What are the downsides? I don't know. I already know what the downsides are. As a human, and it feels like it's all upside from there, getting the hybrid in me. So put that, do I eat the hybrid? Do I become the hybrid? Am I me,
and then
I become a hybrid? Or is the hybrid, or am I manipulated to become a hybrid?
Well, another email.
Or is it my offspring?
An email came in, another one that suggested, hey, if you could be any alien from pop culture, which one would you be? You will still have your current memories, personality, and views, but you just wouldn't be in human form. And that's from Daniel. So I could, you know, I'll combine that question with this other one. Grays, okay. reptilians, Nordics, hybrids. But you could be any type of alien. You could be an ET. You could
Klingon.
Be a Saurian. You could be a Klingon if you, I could, you know what? Danielle Riendo, I said earlier, please give me your most authentic self and you've just done it. I appreciate it. You are the only Klingon I know. Full of honor and
I'll be your
and,
Klingon friend.
And anger, and but like a positive type, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You work it all out in the death ring.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Who's Captain Marvel? Can I become one of those? That seems powerful.
Yeah. Well, you, okay. That's that. You want me to start calling you DJ Senator Captain UFO Captain Marvel? That's a long name.
Captain. They get added onto each other.
Oh, Captain, my Captain, Captain Marvel UFO, Senator from the great state of Illinois, and DJ at my wedding. That's right. I'm engaged now, and I need a wedding, DJ. I wanted to ask you.
Wait, did you get engaged to the alien?
I mean
the
alien.
Well?
The date went, let me tell you, the date went very well.
Oh, hey.
We're getting married now, and I'm going to go live on their planet. And it's going to be hard because of the atmosphere. I know it's made of acid, but my love is that strong.
Well, if you just keep chewing on the alloy.
Right, exactly.
Fine.
You're going to be in sort of a Tally from Mass Effect situation.
100%, except reversed. Oh, because I'm gonna be the one where instead of wearing a suit, I have to just like Patrick said, I have to just always be chewing something and be naked on their planet. So
or maybe you just what if they wore you? Is that how you get married in that alien?
It's a
culture?
Hybrid
like
situation.
That's how you get hybrid. They tear you apart and then you become part of them.
Then I'm finally universally, truly part of them forever. What's that alien species in Star Trek with the parasites? Parasites.
Trill. The Trill.
Is it Trill? Yes.
Yes, that, with the
is
host.
Is that the one that was like the stomach sus? Yeah. And this is how like Riker ended up being host, and then so did
Dr. There's like Crusher.
It was actually one
of their proto-lesbian episodes. It was really good.
Well, yeah. Isn't there a major one in Voyager?
DS9. Yeah.
Or
Commander
is it
DS9? Dax. Yeah.
Dax,
she
yes,
is
it's DS9. Yes.
A Trill.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. I think that's all of my the last one is the last one, maybe this is a lead off, which is Tim wants to know. Hello, Waypoint. Please tell me, which is the hottest alien? Which is the best alien to kiss? Which is the best to hug? What alien do you run to after a hard day? Who is the alien your mother warned you about, but you cannot help but feel a burning desire for their bad alien ways? Thank you, Tim. And thank you, Tim.
Oh, Tim.
I just typed in sexy aliens.
You,
I'm gonna go. Oh, I'm gonna go look at the 10 sexiest.
What is the
aliens
alien?
at Geek Shizzle?
Oh, Geek Shizzle!
They're just trying to make content.
Number one, Princess Neytiri from Avatar.
Okay, well. Number two,
Trisha Helfner from Battlestar Galactica. Not a bad choice.
She's not really an alien, though.
I guess. Well, robots are different than us.
Yeah.
Not materially. So the most of these.
One of these is just Mystique from X-Men.
Not an alien.
This list is just an excuse to like do Google searches for like scantily clad photos and post them.
Oh my god!
Who's actually an alien? We should do a list of who's actually an alien on Geek Shizzle's list of hottest aliens.
Sexy aliens, 70 heavenly bodies from sci-fi from Entertainment Weekly, 2009.
Wow.
They also are claiming that the Cylons aren't. Well, that's like a whole separate podcast.
Yeah, it is.
A Cylon's alien.
That's a whole other thing.
I had a big crush on that movie Species.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was that?
I mean, yeah, that's
Natasha,
the point,
right? Natasha Henstridge. Yeah, that was the point of that movie. Was for kids too young to see a movie about an alien who bones dudes and then kills them so that she can reproduce her race. I didn't care. Reproduce me, Natasha.
Patrick's not afraid of your sexuality.
No, not at all. I'm gonna just say I'm gonna go broadly here, which is like I spent a lot of time being like, I don't get this whole like alien, like I just wanna fuck something with blue skin. Green aliens, like no, fuck off. And then Teenage Austin read about the Chiss from Star Wars, those blue aliens with red eyes and
the Thrawn aliens.
The Thrawn aliens, and Austin Walker was all the way in. So that's
Look, I mean, I don't know if I'm like oriented toward the Chiss, but like toward Grand Admiral Thrawn, hell yeah. Like, I mean look,
just Thrawn
he's the
himself.
Only one I know, but like approved.
Good.
Fair.
He has a cat, or like a dinosaur dog or something, if I remember right.
So, Biggs Darklighter's brother, who survived him after the Battle of Yavin.
Yep. What a good name, by the way.
Gavin, it is Darklighter. Yeah.
Biggs.
No, excuse me. Biggs Darklighter.
Yeah. One of Luke's best friends.
I know. I know a lot of the stuff. I thought Biz Darklighter was somebody else.
Gotcha. Fair.
So
he started Twitter.
Right, of course. So Biz Stone Darklighter. Of course.
Biggs Darklighter left Tatooine, went to the academy, and then someone graduated straight from that into a rebellion, which suggests to me that, like the career placement opportunities at the academy of Star Wars is probably a little bit flawed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like a very reputable institution. But anyway, he has a brother, Gavin Darklighter, who at some point falls in love with a Bothan.
Ooh.
Bothan.
Bothans are
spies.
Yeah, Mon Mothma people. Yeah.
Well, no, Mon Mothma is a person, right?
Yeah,
as a human.
Chandrilla.
Bothans are also. How did you know that?
What? Sorry?
Don't worry about it. Bothans are the furry ones, right?
Yes.
The first furries.
Yeah, but we never see them. We never see them in
Return
of the Jedi.
That's right.
We
never
Jedi.
Actually
we
see them in the movies.
Wait, do we never see a Bothan?
We never see a Bothan.
In the movies? No. I have such a clear image of them in my mind. I think because of comics and games.
Yeah.
No, you just see some other fuzzy aliens, but you don't see a Bothan.
The Bothan spies who died for this information.
But anyway, they're very crafty and political. Basically, like it's an, like Timothy Zahn sort of imagines an entire race of like Charles de Gaulle.
Right. Right.
And anyway, so Gavin Darklighter hooks up with her, and there's a lot of hijinks. But the thing that is weird is like they definitely like in the books, there's definitely like, oh man, look at that sexy Bothan. It's like I hope this couple gets together. It's gonna be hot. And it's like, what practicalities are you imagining?
Don't
there?
Worry about it. All right, like let people want to fuck these dog aliens, okay? Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Biggs Darklighter's brother or whatever, Gavin. First of all, here's what I love about this world is one of these people's names is Biggs. Oh, my first son, Biggs. My second one, Gavin. You ever hear that song by Bush? Yeah, that guy was good. Gavin. They name him after him. My third son, Tim. Like, whatever.
That's
Star
who
Wars
email.
Is... That's who, yeah. And Tim wrote in the email because he's trying to work. He's like, my brother Gavin asked me to be best man at his wedding. And I just need to make sure that you know, other people are also cool with dating aliens. So let me know.
I think that might. I'll just answer.
Yeah. Who is
quickly.
Your. Yeah, please.
Quickly.
Who's your biggest.
I'll be quick. I'll be real quick. No, I no, think no. that Liara from Mass Effect would be nice to have a relationship with because I already did.
Yep, the Arta Sony is a great pick here.
She's real good, and I'm gonna throw it up to my my gay root, my very first crush on a woman, B'Elanna Torres, the engineer from Star Trek Voyager. As everything good. Else, I would like to both have lots of sex with her and also have a nice relationship, maybe a marriage, all sorts of nice things, and also lie in her arms. Oh, and we can spar too because she's a Klingon, and in this imaginary
right.
world, I'm a Klingon. It's beautiful,
right. I love it. I love it. She's great. I'm glad that you found happiness together. I think B'Elanna is a nice name.
It's a beautiful name.
Well, she also must be a hybrid, right?
She's half Klingon, half human, and that was like half of her storylines were about her Klingon heritage, and because she was like a super smart engineer, she also felt very, like, there was a lot of, Star Trek has this thing where there's
Star
a lot
Trek's
of stuff
good.
Where it's like, really really going for it, trying to be like, you know, saying things about race and so on and so forth. I don't know if it always sticks.
Lands, but right.
But it tries, so you know.
Are you saying that Star Trek goes for it in a way that Gavin Antilles marries a dog lady isn't really going for it?
You know, they're going for it just in a different tone.
Different
tone
way.
Of going
fair,
for it.
Fair, fair.
You know?
That's all my questions. I've gone through all of them now. No one else has questions about aliens, apparently, on Twitter. I mean, that's not true. There are lots of other ones about fucking or whatever, but I've read
Corin
the ones
Horn
that matter.
Says that having sex with a Salonian was like having a bad sunburn because of the higher acidity of
Whoa.
The sweat.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. And in places you don't want a bad sunburn.
No, no.
You know? Wow,
okay. One more one comes in, and this one's really for Captain, my Captain, Senator DJ, Captain UFO, from Rustic, who says, how can I volunteer to be exposed to / smoke the alloys?
I mean, it's an interesting question. I'm just looking for answers. I mean, it's just looking for answers.
Put them in your vape pen.
That's it. They actually keep coming in. This one maybe is just for Rob. Why do y'all think the aliens are abducting us? My personal favorite, which is already a good phrase, is that they're a race of hive minds who can't understand how we aren't hive minds and still have civilization, so they abduct us to study us. Also, what do y'all think of machine elves? Do they count as aliens?
What? What are machine elves?
Is
that a
buried
thing?
The lead on that letter.
Machine elves?
This is a thing.
Got a machine elf.
Machine elves. Machine elves, also known as fractal elves, self-transforming elf machines, or Jenny, is a term coined by the late ethnobotanist, writer, and philosopher Terence McKenna to describe the apparent entities that are often reported by individuals using tryptamine-based psychedelic drugs, especially DMT.
What?
At about a minute or two of DMT trip, according to McKenna, one may burst through a chrysanthemum like Mandela and find there's a whole bunch of entities waiting on the other side, saying, "How wonderful that you're here. You come so rarely. We're so delighted to see you." They're like jeweled self-dribbling basketballs, and there are what? So many of them, and they come pounding towards you, and they will stop in front of you and vibrate. But when they do a very disconcerting thing, which is they jump into your body, and then they jump back out again, and the whole thing is going on in a high-speed mode where you are being presented with thousands of details per second, and you cannot get a hold of them. And there are these things saying, "Don't give in to astonishment," which is exactly what you want to do. You want to go nuts with how crazy this is. And they say, "Don't do that. Pay attention to what we're doing." While they're doing, what they're doing is making objects with their voices, singing structures into existence. They offer you things saying, "Look at this, look at this." And as your attention goes towards these objects, you realize what you're being shown is impossible. It's not simply intricate, beautiful, and hard to manufacture. It's impossible to make these things. The nearest analogy would be the Fabergé eggs, but these things are like the toys that are scattered around the nursery inside a UFO. Celestial toys. And the toys themselves appear to be somehow alive and can sing other objects into existence. So what's happening is the proliferation of elf gifts, which are moving around and singing, and they are saying, "Do what we are doing." And they are very insistent. They say, "Do it, do it, do it." And you feel like a bubble inside your body beginning to move up towards your mouth. And when it comes out, it isn't sound, it's vision. You discover that you can pump stuff out of your mouth by singing, and they're urging you to do this.
Hold on. I just want to, a slight side note, the stuff is in quotes, like, in this, it's not pump stuff, it is,
you can
quote,
pump stuff out of your
I
mouth.
Googled by machine elves and dimethyltryptamine came up
by singing, and they're urging you to do this. They say, "That's it. That's it. Keep doing it." We are now at minute 4.5 of the trip, and you speak in a sort of glossolalia. There is a spontaneous outpouring of syntax unaccompanied by what is normally called meaning. After a minute or two of this, the whole thing begins to collapse in on itself, and they begin to physically move away from you. Usually, their final shot is that they wave goodbye and say, "Deja vu. Deja vu." The concept may be related to a tendency for the brain to imagine living entities during certain altered states.
Thanks to Bowen for letting us use this track. This pale machine.
The best example of this is extremely common feeling of a living presence.
You can follow me at Patrick Klupik.
Which has been
and Danielle, where can people can find you?
@DanielleRI.
As the origin of the succubus.
Rob, and of course, you can
find
me at
common theme
Bat-Nee
of many alien abduction stories. However,
for Austin Walker.
Austin_Walker
on Twitter.
When reflecting upon his experience, Aldous Huxley suggested that there was something which he called Mind at Large. Which was filtered by ordinary functioning
podcasts that are about video games
of the human brain to produce ordinary experience. Our imaginal workplace will take center stage.
Until 2018, Danielle, what do we say to the people?
I'll be good.
Allowing internal data to be interpreted as external stimuli.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.